Hey, good morning, Alive Church. I'm really excited to be with you guys today, even though I'm not physically in Ireland. My name is Joel Wood. I am the pastor of a church called Lighthouse Church in right outside Denver, Colorado. For those of you who don't know me, you may have heard about me. My best friend in the entire world is Jeffrey Turner, and anytime he has preached there with you guys, I'm sure he shares stories about that guy with him, his best friend. That's usually me, right? And so it's been several years since I've been able to visit Ireland. I'm looking forward to hopefully getting there again sometime really soon. But in the meantime, it's really exciting that we can still worship together and as kingdom-minded and Christ-minded individuals still today, even though I'm recording this at a different day and a different time, still today in this morning, worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords together. I wanted to start out by telling you a quick story about me. One of the things you'll know about me pretty quickly after meeting me is that I have this hatred of snakes. One of my favorite things about Ireland is that when I go to Ireland, I don't have to worry about snakes. But the places that I live and have lived, that doesn't seem to be the case. So there's not necessarily a specific time or place where I had an encounter with a snake that terrified me. I can't pinpoint this fear to like this one moment in my life, but I just don't like them. Really, really uncomfortable when I'm around them. I get squeamish. I may scream and run away. But a few years ago, I was living in right outside Atlanta, Georgia, where there happens to be lots of snakes. And at the time, we lived in a two-story house, and in the bottom of our house, there was a garage. Or the bottom of our house was a garage. And I was in the garage, and I was working on some lawn equipment, and my son Jonah, who at the time was 4, was in the garage with me. We were kind of doing a father-son like thing, and we're trying to fix our lawnmower. And Jonah's sitting over here, and I have to go back in the house over here to get a tool that I was missing. And I remember I go into the house and I get the tool and I come out of the house, and now in between me over here and Jonah over here, a snake has crawled into my garage. And it was enormous, right? It was a huge snake. And at the time, right, I'm sitting there going, oh man, like, I hate this, but I love with everything in me this, right? I have got to get to my son, because even though I'm terrified of snakes, my love for my son challenges and overcomes my fear of snakes. And so I would love to tell you that I jumped on the snake and I wrestled it and I tied it in a knot and I slung it out of the garage and was like, don't ever come back, snake. It's not what happened. I just walked a really far way around the snake, got Jonah, picked him up and came back to this side, got him in the house. But then I still had to deal with the snake. And so I got the longest stick that I could possibly find and I flung it out of my house and it landed right under the front tire of my SUV. And I think you can imagine what happens next. But see, in this moment, the fear that I had for the snake was challenged by the love that I had for my son, Jonah. So here's my question to you. What challenges your fear? Today, this morning, what is challenging the fear that may have crept in? I know that you guys have been in this series. You've been talking about this concept of fear not that we see all throughout Scripture. An angel shows up and the first thing they say is, hey, I know I'm real scary, but fear not. Don't be afraid. And so as you've been exploring this concept of what it means not to fear, the question I have is, what in you challenges the fear that you have? Because today I think that we're going to look at Scripture and see how Jesus can do just that. There's a moment in the life and in ministry of Paul and Timothy where Paul is writing this letter to this young leader, Timothy, and he's challenging him. You guys may have read this Scripture in 2 Timothy, but I love what it says, right? In it, you have Paul encouraging Timothy in the calling that God has on his life. This is what he says in 2 Timothy 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You see, I love this because it's easy to read over this and just take the principle and move on. But I think if we apply it and look at the situation of where Timothy is in this, then we get a whole nother level and depth to this passage. Because Timothy, Paul talks about how Timothy's not just faithful, but there is something in him. There's a spirit. spark in him that Paul himself recognizes, and it's time to fan that spark into a flame, right? That faith within him is so big, it can be a huge, huge, enormous burning fire for the gospel, for Jesus. But something in Timothy's life is causing him to fear. Otherwise, Paul would have never said, fear not, right? God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And so for Timothy, fear presented a challenge to his calling. Paul's having to remind him, hey, you don't live with this spirit of fear in you. You have a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. See, while fear may be something we experience, Scripture says it's not the spirit that is within us. In fact, we know that if we follow Jesus, we have the Spirit of God in us. So if the Spirit of God is in us, it is no place for a spirit of fear to also dwell. And so while we may experience feelings of fear, we can look at this verse and go, well, how in the world can we say we don't have a spirit of fear when I still get scared of things, right? The distinction is important. We're going to still experience situation that causes us to feel fear. What do we give into, though? Are we giving into that spirit? Are we letting that spirit of fear consume and dwell in us to the point that we lose the power of Christ, that we don't have that self-control? What is that fear, and how does it control you? It's interesting because as I was looking for this sermon, I ran across an article in Psychology Today that talks about fear as a motivator. In fact, it claims that fear is the single greatest motivator we have. Advertisement companies, marketing companies have figured this out, right? Like, they know that fear sells products. It's why security companies can tell you exactly what to be afraid of and why what they just happen to have for sale can help you not be afraid. Just happens to be there. Fear is a motivator. How has fear motivated you? What does fear in your life cause you to do or to live in or to live with or not do? Is it fear of losing control of a situation? Is it your fear of something happening to your loved one? Is it a fear of the unknown? Is it a fear of what we can't comprehend? Look, guys, we are living in unprecedented times, and you figure about a year into this, we could figure out it's unprecedented, but we are still afraid of what we do not know. But here's the thing, we're in good company with that. Because for generations and for thousands of years, people have been afraid of what they don't know. When an angel shows up before people and they don't know what they're looking at, they say, fear not. When the angel showed up to even Mary to tell her that she is going to be the mother of Jesus, he said, fear not. When Paul tells Timothy, right, you don't have to be afraid because that is not the spirit that lives within you. In Matthew 14, we see this story of Jesus and his disciples. And if you've been around church, you know that this is a story where Jesus walks on the water. And I think that we're going to look at this story today and find some truth in it and what it means to not live in fear, or what it means to not have a spirit of fear that is allowed to control us. How we can walk out what Paul encourages Timothy to do and be encouraged by an example that we have in the Gospels of how Jesus interacted with his disciples. So just so you know, where this story falls is Jesus has just fed the 5,000, right? A miracle, takes fishes and loaves, turns it into a ton of food, feeds 5,000 people. After this happened, right, Jesus is pretty tired. And so we pick it up in verse 22, and it says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of this giant lake while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. All right, so Jesus leaves, goes and prays, and sends the disciples in a boat ahead of him to the other side of this lake. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land and beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Okay, so where we are in the story now is that Jesus has sent them ahead. Jesus went to pray and rest. And they got a significant distance from land, but they're trying to get this boat and move it against a headwind. And Jesus decides it's time to go and see him. And so instead of like finding another boat or going to the other side of the lake and like walking the long way around, he just walks on the water, right? So Jesus walks on the water. This is something that is not normal, right? No, none of us see this as a common occurrence. Neither did the disciples. And it says in verse 26, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. So when they see something that they don't know and they can't explain, they become fearful and they put meaning to something even though they don't know it. Right? They apply something not real to something that is real. Right? They say, "This is a ghost. It must be. It's walking on water." They don't know that, but they take what they don't know and they attach it to things that can't explain what they don't know, which is ridiculous. But this is what we do. We let fear of what we don't know create a narrative in our hearts and our minds, and we lean in and we believe something that we can't even possibly comprehend is true or not. We let what we don't know control the narrative of our hearts. We let what we don't know control the narrative of our motivations because we are afraid of what we don't know. It says that they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart." I love that phrase. "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." He's saying, "Guys, take heart. It's me. It's Jesus. You don't have to be scared." The disciples, let their fear of what they did not know impact the reality that was standing in front of them. They mistook a movement of God Himself for something to be terrified of because they didn't know. But the truth is, we constantly get afraid of what we don't know. We let the fear of the unknown or the unseen impact the motivations we have right now. I remember several years ago, I was working in this church, and it was in this really small town in Texas, and I had an apartment that they let me stay in, and it was actually attached to the church building. And at the time, there was no fast internet. It was only dial-up internet, and there was only one place in the building, and it was in the offices. And so what I had to do is I had to leave the apartment that I lived in, walk through this massive sanctuary to the offices that are over here, which is like the only dial-up computer. So if like, I'm trying to check my dial-up email, like I got to walk through this giant, enormous sanctuary, which in the daylight, you know, it's not a problem, right? It's got some pews, there was some carpet, there's a baptistry back here, like it's stained glass, like it's just a giant room. But all of a sudden, you put that in the pitch black of night, you turn out all the lights. Like, I could not see anything. And it was terrifying to me. I just knew there was someone hiding behind the second, fourth, eighth, and 12th pew, and they were all about to jump out and attack me. Like, I just knew it. But I didn't know it. And I let the fear of what I couldn't see and I couldn't understand develop a narrative in my mind that controlled my emotions and how I proceeded through that room. Because I didn't just walk through that room. Man, I ran through that room as fast as I could. Sometimes I walked outside around the building just so I didn't have to walk through that dark room at night. And in those moments where we let the fear of the unknown impact us, maybe like me in the darkness or like the disciples on the boat, maybe we need to hear the words of Jesus and what he said to those men that night. He said, "Take heart." It's an interesting phrase, take heart. You know, it shows up in another place in Scripture too, in John 16:33. Jesus, again, in this passage is talking to the disciples and he tells them, "In the world, you will have tribulation." You're going to run into some really difficult, fearful things in the world. You're going to have hard times. Life is not going to be easy. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Take heart. And he tells them why they can take heart. Similarly, in this passage in Matthew 14:27, he says, "Take heart, it is I." Take heart, it's me, it's Jesus. And what Jesus does in this moment of fear in both John 16:33 and in Matthew 14:27 is he reminds them, you don't have to be afraid. You can take courage and have heart in the middle of the things that are scary because I am here and I am with you. And oh, by the way, no matter what you face, I can defeat that. I've overcome that. I've overcome the world. The fear of the unknown can distract us from the power of a risen Christ. Think about that for a second. We worship a God that defeated death. There is nothing in this world that could defeat Jesus. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we follow. And when we follow Him, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. And so when we let the fear of what we don't know distract us from the power of the risen Christ, we're saying what we don't know is bigger than the Jesus that died for me. And I know we don't consciously say that. But at some level, we have to step into the trust that we can take heart because of who we follow and who lives within us. And even when we face really difficult, hard, and not fun times in life, nothing we face is bigger than our God. That doesn't mean that everything's going to end up easy. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be happy. But what it does mean is even in the moments of our worst pain and suffering, even in our worst days, Jesus is still there. And the power of the resurrection is still in us. And those moments of pain and those moments of difficulty and those moments of fear are temporary. But the power of Jesus in us is forever. It's eternal. It lasts well beyond our physical lives here, and it lasts way beyond this world. But if we let the fear of what we don't know distract us of what the power of the risen Christ can do in us, we can miss some incredible opportunities to walk in light of the power of Jesus. Several years ago, I was on a mission trip in Thailand. I was with my grandfather and my cousin, and we went there to do medical missions, and we were working with some local missionaries who were Thai. And I remember they asked us if we wanted to go on a vacation to the beach for the weekend, which kind of sounds strange, but we were like, you know what, it sounds fun, we can go do that. And so we left, and my grandfather decided to stay there, and so my cousin and I go with this Thai family that we know, but they don't speak much English. One of them was acting as our translator, and she speaks English quite well, but no one else did. And I remember we went, and we went to the East Coast in Thailand, and we met some local Christians, and I remember we had this incredible meal and this incredible community, where we're talking with them about Jesus, even though there's this language barrier, but it's a really sweet time of fellowship. And I remember towards the end of it, they asked us if we wanted to go on an adventure. And we're like, okay, sure, that sounds fun. So they're like, okay, well, we all got then in the back of a pickup truck. So I'm standing in the back of this pickup truck, we start driving and we leave town. I've never been to this town before. I've never been in Thailand before. And now I'm kind of going into the wilderness of Thailand, into the jungle. And this road is just driving into the jungle. And about 15 minutes, we turn off this road into another jungle road, except this time that jungle road was made of dirt. It's not even paved. And we drive about another 15 minutes. And at this point, I'm like, where are we? I can't see city lights anymore. Like we are in the middle of the jungle in Thailand. And then they stop the truck and are like, get out. We're like, get out. They're like, yeah, get out. So we got out. And I'm like, where? What are we doing? Where are we? Like, what is about to happen? This is how movies start. And like, I'm the guy that doesn't make it out, right? And I remember we walked just a little bit and there was this house that we saw. They had electricity. It was a nice house. So it was like a little bit okay. And then we talked for a while. And then we kind of start walking into the jungle away from the house. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden it hits me. The jungle is where like anacondas and pythons live and eat me. And so now, like, to bring it back, like, this fear of snakes that I legitimately have this fear of is starting to creep up inside of me, and I can't see. We're in the middle of a jungle. I'm following this group of people that don't speak the language I do. I'm talking to my cousin. I'm like, dude, I don't know what's going on. And they can see that I'm getting nervous, and so our translator turns to me, and she says, Joel, what's wrong? And I said, like, we're in the jungle. It's nighttime, and I'm afraid of snakes. I'm terrified of snakes. Like, I don't want to run into a snake here. And so everyone else kind of gathers around the translator and asks her, hey, what did Joel say? What did Joel say? And so she's translating into Thai what I said. And so they talk for a little bit. Then everybody starts laughing. Everybody. Like, including me and my cousin, we're like, what's going on? Like, why are we laughing? And so I turn to the translator. I'm like, what did they say? Why is everybody laughing? And she said, Joel, they think it's funny that you're afraid of the snakes because they're afraid of the tigers. And as all of a sudden, my fear of snakes was diminished as my fear of tigers went through the roof. And at this moment, I'm like, tigers? Did you say tigers? And I was like, look, like, are there really tigers here? And like, you can look it up. In East Thailand, there's a jungle and they have tigers that live there. They're like, dude, it's okay though. We're almost there. We're almost to the river. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I remember they asked, do you want to go back? Like, do you just want to leave? And I'm like, what I wanted to say was, yes, absolutely. I want to leave. I want to go back to the hotel. Like, I want to lock the door where tigers cannot get into my room. But I said, no, let's just keep going. Like, I guess we're almost there. I had no idea where we were going. And we get to the river, and then we get in this in these boats. We're kind of rickety. And I remember we get on this glass clear river. And there's the stars above us, and it's pitch black, and it's gorgeous. I still don't know what's going on until there's a moment where a few minutes later, we turn in this bend in this river, and we go around a corner, and we float into this field of fireflies. And it was one of the most incredible things that I'd ever experienced, because there were fireflies above us and beside us, and the reflection of the water made it look like they were below us too, with the stars that are also reflecting off the water, and it's like we were surrounded in a sphere of fireflies while we were in these boats on this river. And it was breathtaking. And it is one of the moments in my life I don't think I'll ever be able to replicate. I will never forget it either. But here's the crazy thing. There was a moment where I almost let my fear stop me from experiencing something incredible. And when we let the fear of the unknown distract us from the power of the risen Christ, we're doing that very thing. And we're missing the things that God may have for us. The story with Jesus walking on the water continues. In this part, Peter kind of jumps into the story, and we pick it up in verse 28, and it says, "And Peter answered him to Jesus, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" And so now we have fear come back into the story. Peter has the faith. He didn't want to miss out. He had the faith enough to step out of the boat and actually walk on water. He saw Jesus and he was walking. He was defying physics, walking on water because of his faith, and he was moving towards Jesus. And then he let fear enter his heart again. And when fear entered his heart, he began to sink. You see, Peter knew the truth. He'd experienced the miraculous. He stood on the water. He had just seen Jesus feed 5,000 people. And still, his fear distracted him of what was right in front of him. We can be in a place where we know the truth that God is in control and we know who has the ultimate victory, but we will still allow what surrounds us to motivate us away from Jesus. If we follow Jesus, we know that Jesus is bigger than the circumstances that are around us. We know he's bigger than our fear of what can physically happen to us. We know he's bigger than our fear of what we don't know, the fear of the unknown. We know that, but we still sometimes find our place, even if we've experienced these incredible moments of faith, we still find ourselves in a place where fear motivates and controls us. And we've let that spirit of fear in our hearts just a little bit. And we experience what Paul warned Timothy against. And we let that fear impact our faith. Jesus looks at Peter and immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" What's your fear today? Seriously, wherever you are, I want you to think about this. I'm asking you right now, for just a second, think to yourself, what is my fear? Is it the fear of losing control? Is it the fear of what is unknown? Is it the fear of what the news or social media says? Is it a fear of what could happen to you or somebody you love? then how much ground in your heart and in your life does that fear have? And hear me out. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention. I'm not saying we shouldn't be vigilant. I'm not saying there aren't times where we need to let the feeling of fear put us in a position where we make wise decisions. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is we can't let fear motivate and control us past the point of our faith. We can't let that be what lives in our hearts. You see, when we let fear dictate our hope, we have chosen to live by a spirit of fear. Nothing on this earth should take your hope away from you. Nothing. And I know that sometimes that's easier said than done, but when our hope challenges and overcomes our fear, we are free to live a life of faith. In Matthew 14, the very end of verse 32 and 33, it says, "And when they got into the boat," this is Jesus and Peter getting back into the boat, "the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" You see, the defeat of fear gave testimony to Jesus as the Messiah. Jesus defeated fear, and he completed it by saving each and every one of the people that were on the boat by dying for them on the cross. And that same power of him saving those men in that boat is the same power that we live in, that nothing of what we don't know can impact the power of Jesus in our life. But we can't give our hope over to that fear, because our God is bigger than that. Again, John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation, right? You will have moments where things terrify you. But that's when we have to take heart, because our God has overcome the world. And we need to remember that wisdom that Timothy received from Paul. Timothy was a man of faith who was on the cusp of letting his fear impact this incredible faith that would reach people for Jesus. And what Paul says is he reminds him, as a follower of Jesus, you do not have a spirit of fear, so don't give it ground. Don't let it rob your hope. Your spirit is one of power and love and self-control. And we receive that through salvation from Jesus alone. There are plenty of things to be afraid of in this world. Fear is the number one motivator. But when faith becomes your primary motivator, you walk in the power of the resurrection and you give testimony to the one that overcame the world. And all of a sudden, our fear and our hope isn't about us. It's giving testimony to others about Jesus. Because when the world looks at us and goes, "Why aren't you terrified?" we can say, even in the middle of scary times, my hope is in something bigger than what we face. Because I worship a God that told me to take heart because of who he is and because he overcame the world. And I know that some of you today may be in the middle of something where you're going, "Joel, I get it. I understand it in my head, but it's really hard because I'm really scared." If I'm honest, there's been several moments over the last year where I've been really scared. There's moments over the last 2 months that I have let that spirit of fear take just a little bit of ground in my heart. And even this week, as I'm reading this and I'm preparing this, I had to go before God and say, "God, forgive me where I have given way and letting that spirit of fear take away the hope that I have in you." Because when we place our hope in Jesus, we are giving testimony to his resurrection and his love. So if that's you, I get it, because that's me. But here's the commitment that I will make to you today. Is that I am going to work hard to give over each of those areas of fear to Jesus. Scripture says, "Cast all of your cares upon him." So even this week, I made a list. I actually wrote it down. And out loud, I said, God, I cast this on you. I give you this fear. I give you this anxiety. I give you this situation. I give you all of what I don't know and understand. I wrote it out and I prayed it. So my commitment to you is that I am going to continue to do that. I'm going to give my, cast my cares over to God. And I'm going to ask for you to do the same. And you're like, Joel, I don't want to go home and write a list. That seems ridiculous. Do it anyway. Start praying through that list. Even if you have to do it every single day. And today you may be able to cast your cares upon God, but tomorrow you may pick it back up again. It's okay. Cast it again. Give it to Him again. Don't give in to that spirit of fear. Allow the transforming power of Jesus Christ to live in you and be your hope above anything you will face in this world. And if you've got to do that again and again and again, if you have to pray to God and say, God, take the fear away from me again and again and again, do it. Commit to it. Because the power of Jesus in you becomes the power of Jesus through you when our hope gives testimony to our God. So the last thing I want to do this morning is I want to pray for you. And I want to pray that we can take these words from Jesus serious. When He says, take heart, that's not a passing phrase. That's an encouragement to live in. So Father, this morning I want to lift up each and every one of us who are struggling with fear. That we can live out what Jesus said in Matthew 14 and in John 16, that we can take heart because we know that our God is bigger than anything that we will face in this world. And when those feelings of fear come back up, you start to take root. Father, I pray that you give us the courage to take heart again and again and again, and we continually give those things over to you because you did not give us a spirit of fear. Father, I pray that we can walk in light of the hope of the resurrection, not in fear of what we don't know. And today, God, I ask that you bless us as we follow you and take the light of Jesus and the hope of Jesus into the world and share that love with others with how we live in hope. I thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, I want to thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to worship with you guys and to share my heart with you guys today. I hope you have a blessed, blessed week. Please feel free, if there's anything that we can ever do for you here in Colorado, please don't hesitate to reach out. Hopefully very soon we look forward to spending some time together in person. Hope you have a blessed Sunday, and I hope to see you guys really soon.